Blog Talk Radio.
This is Carla B., and you are listening to the E-Buzz.
Step into a world where there's no one there.
I'm awesome!
Focus, skills if you notice my position is bonus. That quotas, MCs are just hopeless.
welcome, everyone. Good night. Hello, hello, y'all. Tonight, y'all, this is, of course, your girl, Carla B. This is the E-Buzz show, and tonight we have a very interesting show lined up. We are discussing all things pertaining to Dr. Malachi York's incarceration, his teachings, and more. And with us tonight, first-time guest on EOTM Radio is a member of the Nuwabians worldwide, as well as being the daughter of Dr. Malachi York. But before I bring her on, before I bring our guest on, I do want to go on record to say that when first presented with the opportunity of covering this story, covering Dr. Malachi Z. York's story, 8 years after he was sentenced to 135 years in prison, I honestly didn't want to have any part of it. Of course, I saw and read all the media coverage, media footage years ago, and I just wasn't sure if I could be unbiased. I decided to entertain the idea considering the source, and in researching, I myself discovered areas of the reports that, in my opinion, it did not add up, which were, at the time, it was reported by quote-unquote reliable media outlets. For the record, one also put out there that Dr. York, he was convicted on 3 counts of transporting minors in interstate commerce for the purpose of criminal sexual activity, 1 count of travel in interstate commerce with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity with minors, and 3 counts of structuring cash transactions. And as I said at the top of the hour, we do have the pleasure of having members of the Nuwabians worldwide and daughter and niece of the renowned Dr. York with us right now. Right now I'm going to open up for Hat Shaep, and I pray that I said your name correctly, pronounced it correctly. If I didn't, please forgive me. Welcome to the show.
It's all good. You pronounced it correctly. But for the listening audience who may not have heard, you know, how she pronounced it, my name is Hat Shaep, and I feel real honored tonight being here as a guest on the show, because throughout the years we've been trying to get, you know, media coverage, and to no avail. Majority of the coverage that has been presented on behalf of my pops has been all negative. So tonight, me and Fatima, we're going to do to the best of our ability to try and clear up some of the negative connotation that has been presented, you know, when it comes down to what happened to my father. So I'd like to begin, Carol, just a little bit by expressing to you how what is going on with us as Nuwabians didn't just begin with the allegations that was placed upon my father. It all started when we came to Edington, Georgia in about 1992, where the laws in Georgia were so, like, behind in time, it was pathetic, because they didn't have certain laws. It brought about a lot of problems with us as a family moving into that township. So a lot of our problems began with the sheriff of the town based on these laws that they didn't have enacted. So because of a lack of having these laws, we had to take it upon ourselves to try to communicate with them to the best way that we knew how to get certain things done, and to no avail. It just brought about problems on top of problems on top of problems. So these zoning laws was an ongoing thing for us. And not only was the zoning laws an ongoing thing, it had got so extreme where the sheriff himself had came on the land, which a lot of people wouldn't believe this, with, you know, excessive force, came on the land, locked up our church. Now, you know and I know, what could a church do wrong that a sheriff would want to come and shut it down? That's how pathetic, you know, all of the different problems that we was having. So I would like all the, you know, the listening ears to know that majority of these problems started in 1992 with zoning laws. And from that point on, it went to the raid.
Okay. I know that I documented some of our previous conversation, mine and yours, last week, documented that in a blog on one of our blog sites. And I think that blog, I mean, it's still up there, and it's titled Dr. Malachi Z. York and the Nuwabians from the Inside Out. And that particular blog definitely detailed how, you know, it all started. And I could definitely understand the position that you guys had, as well as the state officials, when it comes to like different zoning laws, because from what I understand in Edison, Georgia, what your father and the members of Nuwabians Worldwide were trying to create was, as some people say, it was a Egyptian theme park, but I don't want to use that word because I know you guys don't use that word, correct?
No, that's good. Because you hit it on the button when you said Egyptian. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clarify that, because I definitely want to, you know, speak in a way that is respectful to you and to the Nuwabians Worldwide, as well as your father. So what I got from the whole conversation that me and you had was that, okay, it was something different. And usually when there's something different and new, it kind of scares people. So is that kind of where things started to unravel, so to speak?
Yes, because I know being that we had moved to what was called a dairy town, they never probably anticipated to see us resurrecting, you know, a civilization that existed thousands of years ago in a modern day and time. You understand? So we had pyramids, we had obelisks, we had deities. You know, it was just our culture. And we were a peaceful people. And as I was explaining to you when we had spoke, you know, early on, how can you take a peaceful people who never, I mean, anybody within the township can let you know, we never, ever, ever had any altercations with the law enforcement team. I mean, we would have family gatherings once a year, and you're talking about tens and thousands of people, you know, coming across the interstate. And with all of those people on our land, right, never, ever, ever did the police can say at one point they ever had an altercation with us. Never. So it's not a normal thing where you get and gather thousands of black people and you don't have some kind of altercation going on. That's
right.
How peaceful of a life that we live. So
right.
Knowing that, keeping and taking that into consideration, explain to me why would they need all of this excessive force when they raided 404 Shadydale Road? I don't know. Why?
Right. We have, I want to open it up, because we have your I'm going to say, is your Fatima York, is she your sister or your cousin?
Cousin.
Okay, hey.
How are you this evening?
Hey, thanks for coming in on such short notice, Fatima York. I definitely appreciate you coming on, and I want you to go ahead and share with our listeners a little bit about you and your opinion as to the situation that happened years ago in Edenton, Georgia, in regards to your uncle, Dr. Malachi York.
Well, you know, my position with regard to the entire situation has to do with racist South and the fact that the corruption that continues to exist here is not being addressed by anyone or any of the officials that would have the power to change things here. There are many things that take place in the South that people are unaware of. The whole case, the entire case with regard to Edenton, Georgia, was really a conspiracy that came about as a result of the sheriff in the town actually losing the case to my uncle. What happened was, because of the zoning issues that were presenting, and that case actually going on for quite some time, and finally, you know, at the end of it, he lost the case. He decides that he's going to, you know, go ahead and try to get revenge. So he was constantly digging, constantly harassing, always trying to find a problem where there really was no problem. if there's an issue of zoning, of obviously, and that's something that's pretty small, you know, you can take care of that. There are many things that, you know, were taking place there in terms of building. And when you buy 400-odd acres of land, clearly there are things you plan to do with it. So if there are some zoning issues that needed to be taken care of, you know, certainly, you know, those things can be worked out. But when it becomes a situation where, you know, the sheriff of the town makes it personal, then you have an even bigger problem. Now he's taking this home with him, you know, and, of course, that started to show up in other areas. So he was determined to get something, find something, create something that would cause, you know, my uncle to be in a situation yet again.
Okay. Okay, so the picture we painted tonight in regards to what has happened to Dr. York is basically you guys moved to the south, you guys moved to Eatington, Georgia, purchased over 400 acres of land, you enact a Egyptian theme park, and you create your own civilization, if you will. And in the act of creating this new world, so to speak, the local law officials, you know, it made them nervous, and they started basically trying to find any little thing.
Right.
And so I want to ask you, so when did the allegations as to sexual abuse, how does that tie into all of this?
Well, you know, quite honestly, I can't even tell you how it tied in, with the exception of the fact that you had Sheriff Steeles there in Eatington, Georgia, who really, for all intents and purposes, had an issue with, honestly, with having all those, you know, African-Americans in that town who were actually progressive and doing things and didn't really require much of the township itself. It wasn't, you know, obviously, you know, when you think about, you know, business and things of that nature, obviously if you have, you know, that many people coming into your town and they're not necessarily partaking of, so they did bring business to Eatington, you know, by, you know, patronizing the stores and things like that. The point is that they never really needed them for anything else. It was sort of self-contained. And so I think that one of the things was, you know, it was different and not something that they were necessarily accustomed to. And then you had this guy coming in, and, you know, sometimes our egos get in the way of making right decisions. And so he decided he was going to just harass and harass and harass. Now, he did say that he had some information prior to my uncle's arrest that spoke to the fact that there was something going on, some anonymous phone call he got at some point many years before that, which makes no sense, because it would be against the law for a sheriff to know that there was some type of sexual abuse happening or any type of abuse to a child and not actually do something immediately, you know, do something about it immediately to actually get that child out of that situation. So that's where it started, with him saying there was a tip he got some years prior, which made no sense because, again, you don't leave a child in a situation where that child is vulnerable or, you know, or in any way challenged physically. You know, so he made the allegation, oh, yes, that's where it started. He got an anonymous tip that something was going on there, which obviously made no sense at all. And that's when he so-called began his investigation, and he started to involve all of these other branches of law enforcement.
Okay, okay. And this show tonight is definitely not a show where you guys have to, you know, discuss, you know, everything that transpired when it comes to Dr. Malachi York. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of listeners and supporters of Dr. York that just wanted to us to air a show regarding Dr. York so they could be able to call in and show their support. So we do have some calls that we'll be bringing on shortly. I want to ask, because I know that you guys are doing a lot in the ways to help Dr. York, the ruling, you know, the 135 years, help overturn that. I don't know if you guys can share any of that on how that's going at this time. Could you care to open up and talk a little bit about that?
Hester, do you want to take that?
Yes. Well, you know and I know that 135 years is an excessive punishment. And my reasoning for saying it's an excessive punishment is because, you know, I attended the trial, and while attending the trial, you know, prior to the actual sentencing, they were saying how they had these tapes of my father's guilt. So we waited and waited and waited. And, of course, these tapes that they so-called had to prove that he was guilty never showed up. All the way up until trial, we never saw these tapes. So at trial, the FBI agent, Jelaine Ward, admitted she didn't have any. You know, and I'm like, wow. So what is he being charged for? So from day one of his arrest, it has been bogus. Now, it's not easy when you convict a man to 135 years to have the case overturned. But I can assure you, you know, me and my cousin, and there are other Nuwabians that's working night and day, immediate family, to exonerate him. And we're not going to stop fighting until he is exonerated, because we know that there's so many loopholes within the case that it's going to happen. And
right.
That much I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
But go ahead.
And I know that the question that you're asking is, what are we actually doing today?
Yes, ma'am.
To actually address the issue of his incarceration. And what we're doing right now is the most important thing we're faced with is the issue of his health. So what we're doing currently is, you know, we want to make sure that he's actually being held in a super maximum facility in Florence, Colorado, ADX, Administrative Maximum Facility, it's Florence. And it's really like one of the worst prisons you could ever be in. I mean, it's a supermax facility, and he's not getting any type of medical attention. He has angioedema. He has acute angioedema, and he has flare-ups. And I don't know if you're familiar with the disease itself, but what happens is with this disease, you know, if he has any stress or anything like that, his body begins to swell, his throat swells up. I mean, and at any given time, he could just, you know, pass out because he, you know, loses his breath when he's, you know, going through an episode, and it could cause asphyxiation, which could cause sudden death. And so what we're doing currently is, A, trying to address the issue of the medication that he's not receiving in that facility. They're not treating the disease itself. He has regular flare-ups. He passes out. As a matter of fact, some family members were visiting him maybe about 2 months ago, and he fell out in the middle of the visit. He had was just a horrible thing, and they didn't address the issue. As a matter of fact, many of the physicians in the facility or the physician's assistants have been making comments that they don't even know what the disease is, or they've asked him what is hereditary or acute angioedema. So what we're trying to do immediately is have him moved out of that facility, because the facility is really – it does not – there's nothing in that facility that is going to help assist with his medical condition. And obviously you know that regardless of whether or not you have someone, you want to accuse them or whatever, everyone has a right to have – to be treated in the event that they have any type of medical condition.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, there's not – they're not dealing with his medical condition at all. They're ignoring it, as a matter of fact. And he has these episodes to the point where in that particular facility, you're on lockdown for 23 hours a day. You get 1 hour a day to go outside. I think that might be like 4 or 5 days a week. He doesn't even go outside because he's afraid that if he goes outside, if he hits that button, if he's having an attack, if he hits the button to come back in, they won't come out there and get him, because he's had that happen before where he went outside for his little hour break and he hit the button. He was beginning to have an attack and they didn't even come out and get him. Luckily, it wasn't anything that it didn't get, you know, to the point where it was extreme. But it's happening so much that we have to do something about it. And it's very dangerous and people have died. As a matter of fact, there was a case a couple of years ago where a young man, was it a couple of years ago, Hatshepsut?
Yeah, it was just recently, about a year.
About a year ago. He died from the very same disease because they didn't understand it. It's a fairly complicated disease that they're just starting to, you know, get information on and finding out what this disease is about. And so what we're doing immediately is trying to get him moved out of that facility. And obviously following that, we will continue to address the issue of the false allegations and in the, you know, the wrongful conviction.
Right.
And obviously we will be doing that. And we're doing that in many ways. We are going to take it all the way as far as we can take it.
Okay, that's great. And that's what I want to talk about after we come back from commercial break. We'll take a 30-second commercial break. We'll come back, open up the phone lines, and then we'll definitely touch on the allegations and some other things as far as the recantation. So hold tight, everybody.
Hype Magazine, a magazine that gives you all kinds of flavor for your entertainment needs. You can purchase Hype Magazine in all major stores, as well as getting it digitally at www.gethypeonline.com. Get your ad in Hype Magazine now and subscribe by calling 1-301-579-HYPE. That's 1-301-579-HYPE-4973. This is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Media.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your girl, Carla B., and my eBuzz show. We are actually discussing Dr. Malachi Z. York and the Nuwabians worldwide from the inside out. And tonight we have the honor and the pleasure of having two of Dr. York's relatives, his daughter, Hasha Ip, and Fatima York. And I think that they'll both forgive me because I'm trying really, really hard to pronounce
her. You're doing fine.
Thanks so much. I want to open up the phone lines really quickly. We have someone who has been definitely, he's a EOTM family, Trey. He also has a show on the Blog Talk Network. And when we were talking about this show, he just went crazy. He's like, oh, my God, Dr. York, you know, Dr. Malachi Z. York, you know, so he has some stuff that he wants to say. And Trey, love, you are live.
Well, first of all, I want to say to Carla and the EOTM family, sincerely, I am very impressed and in awe of you all for doing such a magnificent show. And I have chills right now. I really want his daughters to know that as I'm on the phone with you all, I'm really getting emotional because your father, to me, I'm going to be totally honest with you, ladies, I read. And I researched, and I was woken up by a young man by the name of Ronald Crawford, and I literally say woken up, and it was due to your father's books, one book being The Mind, the other book being Potential. And those two books, literally, I'm telling you, ladies, right now, I was a devout Christian man and believed in this lie. I'm going to call it what it is, you know what I'm saying? And when I read your father's books and start studying your father, I'm going to tell you, and watching your father's videos, I fell in love and in awe of your father, and I see Dr. York as what he is, the savior for us, and that is why he is incarcerated. The young man, Crawford, who introduced me to Dr. York's teachings, he used to follow your father in New York. And after I learned and found out the knowledge and realized all the things that are going on, it is really a modern-day Jesus. And for the people that don't know that and aren't paying attention like that, Dr. York, one man, single-handedly showed black people how to live beyond white people's resources, and that is the reason why he's incarcerated.
Thank you.
Well said, brother. Well said.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
Wow.
That's from the heart, ladies. And I really would, honestly, I'm an entertainer, and I would really like to do anything in my power to help and also keep in touch with you ladies, because it would be an honor to be able to speak with Dr. York.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Well, we'll be sure to give our contact information to Sister Carla and make sure that you actually have that information. And if it's okay, is it okay if we have your information as well?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay. Well, we're happy that, yes, we're very happy that you took the time out to come in and speak on that so that people, you know, the listeners are aware that, you know, it's not just us. There are other people out there that have been affected by his life work, I should say, and just, you know, overall everything that he's done to try to, you know, clean up our communities, as you said, and to sort of help us to, you know, feel better about who we are, because, as you know, for many, 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 many years, you know, centuries, you know, we've been, you know, sort of left behind. And so just to bring us, you know, into the mindset that we are somebody and that we should be respected and our culture is beautiful and there's no reason for us to run from that. And it's not even necessary for us to assimilate or try to assimilate or try to be a part of somebody else's culture when our culture is so rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Mm-hmm. And speaking of, and I want you to stay on if you can for a bit, Trey Love, but and just to let you ladies know, I don't know if you heard it when I mentioned at the beginning, he has a platform as well. He's a media correspondent and an actor and a comedian as well. So as to what you guys are doing to gain more media, more of a media outcry, if you will, in regards to your father, I think definitely between EOTM and the things that Trey Love is doing with his company, Gilroy Entertainment, well, you know, we could definitely help facilitate anything that you need. So,
we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
No problem. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have impacted Trey Love so much, because he's talked about the teachings of your father. But for the listeners out there that may be clueless to this, one of you ladies, if you could go ahead and share a little bit about, you know, what is the Nuwabians?
Well, I can tell you, just to give you a little background on him, because I know that this is primarily about him, and then I'll my cousin will speak to you more about the Nuwabian Nation. But if for those who are not aware of the work of Dr. Malachi York, Dr. Malachi York is a teacher and author. He's written over 400 books, and he teaches ontology. And what that is facts about the nature of things, encompassing comparative religious religions and spirituality and linguistics and science and etymology and quantum physics and, you know, just personal upliftment. So he's actually been doing this for many, many years. And as a result of the 400 books that he's written and the different schools of thought that he's actually taken us through, again, he, you know, came into a situation where his books were so thought-provocative for everyone, not just for African Americans, but for anyone that was interested in, you know, facts as opposed to just religious beliefs or what have you. You know, it was something that, you know, was, again, thought-provocative, and people gravitated toward Nuwapu because he presented facts, not fiction, not maybe, not is this real or is it, you know, you were able to identify what he talked to you about based on the fact that he gave you supporting information that spoke to whatever subject matter he was presenting at that time. And with that, I'll pass the floor on to Hatshep.
Thank you.
Is it okay, ladies, if I jump in real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Okay, I'm so elated right now, ladies. I'm sitting here with my book, The Mind. It is literally my Bible. I want you all to really understand truly. I mean, Carla said it and expressed it, but I really want you to understand truly how much myself, Mr. Lewis Smith III, really adores and respect your father. I want to read out of his book, The Mind, a scroll. It's scroll 26. It's called Fear. And this is what I read every time I travel. And this is out of your father's book, The Mind. My child, fear is the most debilitating emotion. The student must be willing to risk everything, including his or her own life, in the quest for spiritual perfection. Timid, makes one absolutely fearful of becoming a deity, which is a god. A criminal who is fearless and totally indifferent and unattached to his or her body is more fit for becoming a deity than a nervous, overcautious person. His or her energies only need to be rechanneled. Fear is a product of imagination, but nonetheless it assumes real forms and can be troublesome in a variety of ways. Fear manifests in many shapes, such as fear of death, fear of disease, fear of solitude, and fear of company. Taking hold of the mind, imagination works havoc and makes one prey to all sorts of fear. Fear is fear of public criticism, especially stands in the way of a person striving for righteousness in the face of persecution. One must stick to his or her convictions. Then only can one grow. Fear can be overcome by self-inquiry, devotion to a higher cause, and the cultivation of the opposite of fear is courage. Positiveness always overcomes negative, and courage always overcomes timidness. Now, I'm going to say this, ladies, what I just read, that these are the parables that changed my life. I do not have fear now after reading this book by your father, Dr. York, The Mind. I do not doubt any of my potential of how far that I can go. I can soar like the eagle that Dr. Malachi Z. York told me that I could be. So with that being said, he empowered and motivated me without ever meeting me by flesh. Through reading your father's books, I have changed the way I operate. I've changed the way I eat. I changed the way I view people. I changed the way I live my life after reading this one book called The Mind.
Wow.
With
that's
that being
wonderful.
Said, family, and Carla's been knowing me for years. And Carla, a lot of people don't know that I'm not going to say that I'm anything because, see, I even learned from your father. I'm not going to be called a Nuwabian. I'm not going to be called a Muslim. I'm not going to be called a Christian. I am a God child. I do know there's a creator. I do know that there's a higher power than I. But through your father, I learned to find where God truly is, and God is inside of me. That's what I learned by reading and listening to the teachings of Dr. Malachi Z. York.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Powerful. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
he just inspired me with what he said, because it's very amazing when he brought up that particular subject matter of fear, because him being incarcerated, it lets me know how in depth fear rises and goes. Because we know for a fact my father is not a threat to anyone.
That's right.
Just the fact
he's
that
only a help.
Knowledge.
Your father's only
exactly.
a help.
Exactly.
Your father's only a help because even from where he is, he helped a young brother that he never met, never laid eyes on, but my life has changed due to that brother's teachings, man. And I got his back. I support him. I wish if there's anything I could do to help him get out, I promise to God. We need him out here teaching us and helping us. We need
exactly.
Dr. York.
Exactly.
We need Dr. York.
Exactly. And on the strength of Nawapo, because, Carla, you had asked about Nawapo, you know, early on.
Yes.
And Nawapo is now Wunawapo, right? And when we say Wunawapo, that's our way of life as Nawabians. And then it's not only our way of life, it's our religion. So for anybody who don't know, this is all that we have is Nawapo. Because when you're dealing with Nawapo, you're dealing with right knowledge, you're dealing with right wisdom, you're dealing with right understanding and sound right reasoning, which is a complete package. And once you embrace all of that, then you are a Nawabi. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
It's not like we can take the word and define it, because what Pops had taught us was when we put a definition on a word, then they take the same word and try to utilize that word to define me and you as to who we are as a people. And he's not going to allow that to happen. You understand? Because when you look at a word and you define a specific word, it's all going to be based around the religion that's governed by the person that's given what? The definition.
Right.
So he hasn't taken the word Nawapo and defined it, because we know the evil one, they want to be able to take the word Nawapo and categorize us in a specific category, and he's not going to allow that to happen. So in layman terms, it can be utilized as right knowledge, right wisdom, the right understanding, and taking it into what is called sound right reasoning.
That's something. I want to definitely allow you ladies the opportunity to share with some of our listeners ways to be to stay connected with information, all information regarding to Dr. York and the Nuwabians. But before we get that information from you, I definitely want to go ahead and welcome to the show another one of EOTM's radio personalities. He has a show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This gentleman is actually the one who presented this story to me. He emailed me, and he knows that, you know, when I do decide to interview someone, I have to, you know, have a passion for it. And when I read the title of his email, I'm like, you know what, it's just going to take too much time for me, because I know that I'm not going to just want to do a show and not really do research on it. So I'm like, okay, after I did research, I'm like, you know what, I have to do this. And so with that, I want to open it up to Ron Anthony. He inspired me to do this segment. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you.
Hello, hello. How you all doing?
Good,
thank you. Peace.
What's up, Ron? Hey. Yeah, you know, Dr. York, to me, is I've been to the compound a lot just to sing. You know, he had different, I sang at a wedding, and when I sang at the wedding, he just, they were saying a lot of things that I knew weren't true, because I was actually there. And I read at one time they were saying that everyone there had to eat exactly when he eat and do everything. I mean, I was like,
my God.
I was there at the place, you know, and I'm like,
hilarious.
And it was too good out there. I mean, everybody was just, it was like you were actually, you know, people were just free, you know, helping.
Right.
And they helped me, and I'm like, they were treating me like I was, you know, somebody when I felt like I was nobody.
Wow.
And, you know, and it was just, and I met Dr. York through an agency, ANJ Connections, and I met just a lot of different ones. I was just before he went in, he was getting ready to back me musically. Wow. I mean, we had everything set up, and that happened, you know.
Right.
And one more thing, he gave me his a CD. He said, Ron, you sound just like me when I used to sing. So he gave me his demo copy. He gave me a demo copy.
Wow.
And I was supposed to get it back, too. And let me jump in that real quick. You got to be a real Dr. York fan to know he did music. Yeah.
True. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, y'all. And hey, to the sisters, trust me, I'm trying to follow in his footsteps. I'm an activist. I'm a motivational speaker, teacher, actor, comedian, and I do my music thing, too. So I'm trying to be a modern-day Dr. York church.
That's what's I definitely go ahead.
Oh, you know, I was just going to speak on some of the things that he was commenting about, you know, with regard to the, you know, eating when he ate. You know, that, you know, there's so many things that were just, it was just, there was just media hype, just anything to get ratings at that point. We heard some of the most outrageous things ever, you know, and clearly there's no way. I mean, there were people, no one was there. As you said, Ron, when you came up on the land, you were just there, you know, you just visited and you felt wonderful, whatever. People were there voluntarily. They tried to make it seem as if were being held against their will and all of this craziness. But when you went up there, you felt nothing but love. You felt like you were free. It was just the most wonderful environment. But, you know, again, they had to create that in order for them to be able to sell people on this whole concept that he was this horrible guy who had this cult and all of that stuff. They had to do that. So they created these different, you know, scenarios or lies, really, to sort of sell the story to the public, because it's the whole, you know, if you looked into it, if you looked into it, you would really see that the case was so bogus. So they had to come up with all these different things. And, of course, you know that the best way to turn people against, to turn the public against anyone is to say there's a child involved somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Moment you say that, people don't even look. They don't investigate. They don't. All you have to say is this guy did something to some child, and that is it. It's over for you at that point. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to, you know, beat you up or do whatever, throw you under the jail. And so that is what they do. And they've done that historically, if you think about it, to most of the black leaders that have come forward to try to do something, you know, to uplift their people, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with uplifting your people, especially when they've been down for so long. So,
right.
You know, for him to come forward and want to do this, you know, was commendable. And we've had many leaders before Dr. York that's actually done that. And again, the same story. It always comes back to, yeah, well, you know, they were doing something
exactly.
with children, or he was doing something with a child. And immediately the public goes bananas and everybody's
right.
like, he's a child molester, and they
exactly.
hear nothing else.
Right. I want to really quick, we got about 12 minutes, and I want to talk a little bit about, because when we posted the blog, there was, you know, just some crazy responses, and there were that people were saying that Dr. Malachi York, he, why would he go ahead and plead guilty? I've done the research. I understand why that happened, and it's just so crazy. So I want you to explain, if some, one of you ladies can explain it really quickly, as to why he, Dr. York, did plead guilty and how it backfired on him.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I just, this before we get into that, I just want to ask the listeners, anybody that's out there listening right now, and it's, think about this, because I've, you know, you can go to traffic court and plead guilty for something you didn't do. It might have been a mistake of the police officer. Maybe he thought, you know, you didn't stop when you did or whatever. You, there are so many instances where people have taken plea bargains. Let's
exactly.
think about it now, because it's, let's, the operative word here being bargain. They're negotiating with you. And typically when they do that, unfortunately, they don't have a whole lot, but they're hoping that you, you know, whatever your circumstances, whatever circumstance you're dealing with at that time is so critical that you're going to sort of feed into that. So I want to first say that it's not, you know, something that's new. Everybody knows somebody that's been arrested at some point or whatever. And oftentimes, unfortunately, the way the system is set up, they actually bargain with you, plea bargain with you for your life or the life of your loved ones. In the case of my uncle, in my uncle's case, he had a wife that was incarcerated as well. They took her down on false, you know, allegations as well.
Yep.
And here she is. She's in a jail cell with multiple sclerosis, suffering. They're torturing her. She's sleeping on floor. She's never lived like that before. And they took two other women, and they're telling him, listen, all we want is you. Because of you, guy, everybody else is suffering, okay? So if you just take this plea, you know, we can let those women go. Why do you want these women to suffer? Now, I'll tell you something. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, yeah, he shouldn't have taken the plea bargain or what. You can say that until you get into that situation where somebody is offering something to someone that you love. Maybe you're thinking, I'm a man, I can handle it. If it were him by himself, he said on many occasions, if it was just me, it never would have happened. And they did it. They did this. They positioned this to me, gave me this offer while I was under duress after they tortured me, had him sleeping on floors, rat-infested cells, keeping him up all hours of the night, 2 and 3 days at a time. If he fell asleep for an hour, they'd wake him up in all hours of the night. So what they did was they traumatized him, they broke his system down, and then they sold him on this while they were giving him all kind of medication and all that. And people just didn't know that. They're just, and then they broadcast it. You know,
sister, let me jump
doctor,
in. What's your name, sister? What's the name of the sister that's talking right now?
My name is Fatima York.
Fatima, let me jump in real quick, honey. I know we only have 12 minutes, but I have to disturb you. Everybody, go to YouTube and go to Dr. York was forced to plead guilty. Just put that in your YouTube account, and what the lady is saying is true. He was drugged. He was treated with inhumane conditions, and when you think about everything that he went through, he didn't just take the guilty plea because he was guilty, but when you watch his YouTube footage, you can look at him and tell he was not even in his handsome, intelligent state. Just pay attention
exactly.
to that. Now, I apologize for disturbing you.
Wow.
No, everybody needs to go to, everybody needs to see what you're talking about, and that's on YouTube, family. I just put it on my Facebook.
Yeah,
wow.
You have to, yeah, he was drugged, clearly. If you look at any of the other YouTube classes, you'll see him teaching classes. If you look at that and then take a look at him when he was there with the plea bargain, which they've actually put on the internet, you will see the difference. You will. It's clear that he was drugged. He was not himself. And then he had a. I mean, it was just terrible what he went through. And my personal opinion, you know, is it was a noble thing of him to do. Oh my gosh, so many days I wish he hadn't. But you know, I understand based on the fact that he's a man who cared about his family.
I'm glad you said that, Far, because that was, not to cut you off, that was one of the things that I was going to say, is that people are negating the fact of his nobility by doing that. Because the average person, if they were self-centered, they wouldn't have cared to look out for the rest of the family. And these were three women that nobly, he did this for their freedom. And they're home now, and he's still there.
Mm. Wow, that's definitely something. Go ahead and share with us, Fatima or Hatchett, in regards to if our listeners are wanting to stay connected with the Dr. Malachi York's movement, what you guys are doing in hopes to possibly, you know, getting this these charges overturned. How would they be able to stay in contact with you guys?
You have a website. Fine. You want to give them the website?
Yeah.
To you?
Well, you can always go to www.projectriseup.com. That's www.projectriseup.com. There's a lot of information there on the case itself. As well, you can contact us there, send us an email. We'll respond to it within 24 to 48 hours. Time permitting, and you know, if you would, you know, any suggestions you may have, or if there's anybody out there that, you know, has any type of law enforcement background that knows anything about, you know, how we can, you know, just do more. I mean, we're always open to suggestions.
Okay.
One other thing, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We also have an official website, UNW.
Yes.
What
worldwide.
Is it again?
UNW Worldwide.
Okay.
UNWOnline.com.
Okay.
UNWOnline.com.
Okay. Okay, great. And we'll put that in the chat room also. We have a lot of people in the chat room, and we will put that out there for them, and then we'll also put that on our Facebook pages. That is www.unwonline.com, correct?
Yes,
and www.projectriseup.com.
Okay, that's
also, I wanted to say one thing before we go. Also, a lot of people hate to mention this. Well, I'm going to mention it. If you can help financially, because I also read that they're paying so much, and they're trying to keep the lawyer. So if anybody's listening, if you can help, where would they be able to help as far as financial?
Well, you could, you know, because you have, like, the Project Rise Up. But
okay.
Then, you know, you could also give them my number, 404 989-5605, and they can call me directly.
Okay, and that's a number that will make sure that we give Trey Love also, so you can possibly be a guest on his show. Again, that number was 404-389-5605. That is the daughter of Dr. York, Hatshepsut York.
Yes. They can,
and,
you know, like I said, they can also reach, you know, at the Project Rise Up, you know, email Fatima.
Yeah, you can email us there, or you can also, if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at cyork1, that's S-E-E, York, Y-O-R-K, the number one, at yahoo.com. That's my email address. Or you can contact me by cell at 678-913-9247, 678-913-9247, and I am Fatima York.
Okay, and that was
678. My website, my email, I'm sorry.
Okay,
Mother,
go ahead.
Mother_thunder999@hotmail.com.
Okay, that's mother_thunder999@hotmail.com.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, ladies. I want to give the opportunity to see if Trey Love is still with us, if he wanted to share any last words. We got about 3 minutes, so I'll give you 1 minute if you want to share, Trey.
Yeah, I am here with you, family, and I just, again, this is like the most exciting thing in the world for me right now. You guys don't know, I've been reading this man's books for years. Honor and pleasure to meet both of you. And to be this close to you, and I will definitely be keeping in touch with you because I know you all don't – see, this is something that's real. You all don't know my name, never saw me in life, but I am part of your family because of your father's teachings and his work. So I just want the world to know that. I'm a supporter. Carla, thank you immensely
for doing this show, Carla, yes.
And also allowing me to have the opportunity to speak to what I consider sincere, true African royalty. God bless you, ladies, and sincerely, you and your father are in my prayers every moment. Believe that.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for that, Trey. Definitely an honor to always be in your midst. You tell some funny jokes all the time, but you get deep with it too, and you got to love and respect a man like him. Ron Anthony, did you have any last words for the ladies?
I would just like to say I really appreciate you all coming on, and I just thank God that I'm able to meet you all, and just be strong and always remember to hold on because it is a light, and this is happening for a reason, and believe me, he will be out sooner than we think.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And I definitely I have to piggyback on everything that both of these guys have said. Thanks, Ron, for making this interview happen. And, of course, Trey Love for coming on Inspiring Minds as usual. I want to give some information out there to the listeners in regards to your websites. Definitely, if you're trying to get more information in regards to Dr. York and how you can help, be it inspiration-wise or whatever, financially, of course, it's always great. You can visit www.projectriseup.com. And you can also contact these two ladies at 404-389-5605, as well as 678-913-9247. Ladies, did you have any last words?
I'd just like to thank you, caller.
Absolutely.
I mean, my honor is just going out to you right now. I appreciate everything you're doing for, you know, my father, and you couldn't have done a better show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carla. I'd like to say thank you so much. I really enjoyed your show, and we have really been trying to have a voice here. And I just want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to tell it the way it really happened, and we'd be more than happy to come back anytime.
Okay, because that's all I was just going to say. It was only 60 minutes, but my doors are open to you guys anytime. Okay, wow. Just call me. You have my number. I'm here for you, and I want to do plenty more shows on this. We could do some marches in Atlanta, Los Angeles, wherever, New York.
Yes.
We are here.
Thank you.
Let's make it happen. I want to go ahead and end the show with a quote by Dr. York. It was so many quotes, but I want to say all of them. But I'm going to say two. The first one is this. If you do not label every aspect of your personality with different colors, you will not recognize them, and they will come up and seize you. Another one that I'll end with is this. Where are you going? Where we came from? Where have we come from? Every place and no place. So come, let's go. Those are the words of Dr. Malachi Z. York, y'all. Y'all marinate on that. That was a deep one. Peace and blessings, y'all. Until next time, this is Carla B., and I am out.
Don't live in a world of hate.
Pull yourself together
and Texas as the ruler, Rick.